of Steam, Steel, and Murder, back with another session in our Season 3 storyline. We're still playing around with the system and laying some foundational elements for this season's storyline. It is, however, a full tale involving the newest recruits in the investigation's arm of the Cheka. The players were Jameis, Richard, Chris, and Marcus. This is part one of two to the storyline Hide and Seek, title courtesy of Richard. Enjoy! All right, so we have playing today. We've got Ronald Biggles, Leon Richter, Seymour Jones.
Warren, how am I sounding now?
Warren Fernand. All right, not horrible.
I tried boosting it a little bit. Let's see if that does anything.
Yeah, I think your microphone is just, it's to me, it's sounding, it's just like a little on the high side. So your voice sounds like it's not, the enunciation is just kind of rolling all together. But that just could be.
Okay, I will make sure to enunciate every single consonant.
That actually sounded much better. I was about to say that it could entirely be my headphones, too.
No, it's not. This is how you usually sound on Fridays as well, Marcus.
Oh, that's goody. That's probably because I'm using a cheap mic.
My one's falling apart as well. I need to do something about it.
Well, yeah.
So I've got three, so I don't need any of those. Sorry.
Cheap mics can work quite well. My cheap microphone is really good, even though I didn't know it. What? That's really good. I can't even switch it off.
Resources doesn't fit in the box.
Just stick it down in the extra section.
No, I mean as in resources, and the word doesn't fit.
No. They're just perform or anything else. It's just a quick throw together thing.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Yep. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started.
Sorry, I was just going to say the handouts. Are we meant to be seeing those right now, Bert, or do you need to hand them quickly?
I don't mind if you're looking at them, but I'll tell you in the story where you can, you know.
All right, yep, okay. Get them.
Okay, so this is session six to our of Steam, Steel, and Murder game, season three. Tonight we have Leon Richter, as played by
Marcus Cope.
And describe Leon for us.
Leon is a well-looking gentleman who has a slight German accent to himself, but he carries himself as if he was obviously of an upper class, although he doesn't seem to act like it. But his obsession with alchemy kind of leads to slight burns on everything, especially since he's also played with explosives. So everything usually has like slight singe to it so that he never looks truly clean. And if he ever had a mustache, he doesn't, or a beard, he doesn't have one now. He's lucky to have eyebrows.
Right. And Ronald Biggles, as played by...
If he doesn't have a goatee, how do we know he's evil?
German accent. Did you miss that?
Well, yeah, I just want to confirm it though. With the you can't slight play from the pork accent. Thing. Get away from the pork that way. Anyway, Ronald Biggles, as played by Jameis, he is the drunken ex-pilot from the British RAF. He is a normal sort of flight jacket and gear, complete with goggles and stuff. But it's rather tatty. It's definitely and there's more than one stain on his uniform, which doesn't really seem to bother him too much. And he's usually can be seen with a drink in his hand. The glass is probably near empty.
All right. And Seymour Jones, as played by
Chris. Seymour is a well-aged 55-ish man, kind of hunched over posture, very slim build. And he adorns what is commonly called Coke bottle glasses. He dresses in a simple suit with a top hat and a walking stick. A rather thick notebook is either in his hands or in a satchel that he carries. He is a simple watchmaker, tinkerer, toy maker who believes in the purest of the mechanical technologies. Since everything is going to the newfangled electric way, his business is just about out of business. And because of this, he now works for the Cheka. He lives in a small one-room studio apartment in a kind of poor part of town. And he can be seen walking the city, picking up small little broken items for a project someday. He's usually happy-go-lucky, in good spirits.
Sounds good. And Warren Ferdinand. Ferdinand.
Sorry, I'm on mute. You'll get that right one of these days. Yeah, Warren Ferdinand. He's the hard-drinking freelance war correspondent that you all come to know and love from his many adventures in the previous episodes of Steam, Steel, and Murder.
And it's not the Cheka that drives people to drink. Mostly they just hire drunkards.
We're drinking way before the Cheka. That's why he is no longer an ex-pilot.
All right. Two of you have most recently come back off the continent from an international training seminar. This was the tail end of our Rod from the Gods episode. But you are newly certified. You guys are actually carrying firearms now, whether you actually have the skill to use it or not. You are registered to carry.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
All right.
No, Leon Richter does not carry a weapon he cannot use.
Oh, no. Leon, you're new. You're not the two that I'm talking about.
Okay. Should they have a gun?
That's the two people he's referring to.
Yes.
Ronald and Warren.
We'll shoot all three of those people standing over there.
So you guys find yourself back in Metapol. You've had about a week to settle in. You have been on the Cheka campus before, although just in discreet places as your training has commenced. If you look on the map there, you have the campus grounds. It is quite extensive. The main building here, which I'm pinging now, is essentially the one that is open to the public. It is kind of a history of Metapol, Cheka, and Mr. Tesla himself. Out front here is the place where Tesla died, and there's been erected a monument in that place. So this is the ruins of the center of Metapol, the power distribution plant from the prior seasons of Steam, Steel, and Murder. So you've got the statue of Tesla there, seated and looking through a manual. He's wearing his mad scientist garb in the statue, the long white coat going down by his knees. So it's a very nice manicured campus here. You find yourself today in the newly opened cafeteria. They closed down for some slight problems in sanitation the last few days, but they're now proudly open again today with a large banner flying that Chef D has once again this year been awarded the contract to provide the meals.
Meals.
And hopefully he's not serving the long fork like he did previously.
He also deals with the firing. Just getting rid of the suspects.
There are some groans coming as people notice the banner in the cafeteria. Someone is reading a newspaper next to you guys in line. So the four of you are kind of standing next to each other in line. And somebody behind you is slipping through the newspaper and says, "Oh, I see the rat population has suffered a large downturn in the last few weeks on the Cheka campus. Huh. Wonder what's with that."
Good.
A few people eyeball the Chef D sign. A few leave the room.
Yes, that was a sanitary issue. Some of the ingredients escaped.
Yeah.
So you've all settled back in, got your time zone changes fixed with your internal clocks with a judicious use of alcohol until the time all seemed to be right again. And here you are, back on campus. This is supposedly a training day, but it's one of these free days where you're essentially allowed to sit in on classes here and there. The two of you, newly acquiring new ranks within the Cheka, have now got greater levity to look around in different places. You're stopping here for a meal, and Mr. Leon Richter and Seymour Jones, who you've run into occasionally on campus, they've just recently gotten out of their field training classes. They are a couple of levels below you, but they are firmly in the investigation branch as well. So you are all in line here. One of the nice things about the cafeteria and why, even though the food tends to be subpar, that people use it, is they've got a wet bar.
That explains why I'm here.
Exactly. So you got your cafeteria trays, and people are just saying, yeah, four more olives in that Manhattan. Yeah, that's lunch. Thanks.
So if I hold my hand up in front of my face and open out my fingers and then wave my hand back in front of my face rapidly so that everything looks like a weird blur, do I recognize Seymour Jones from being with us on the Japanese investigation?
Yes, you would.
Yeah, okay.
It was you. Yes, I thought so.
Yes, it was.
I thought Leon was on a previous adventure as well.
Marcus, Leon played in a previous one this season?
Yes, he was. He was on the boat.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, the drinking
party.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were one level below the people that were out, but were brought along for the training mission. So you still don't have access to a gun.
I don't want one.
Yes.
I have a sword.
Definitely people you've met before. So everyone's kind of milling around, talking. Mm-hmm. Apparently there is some tabletop going around that in the laboratory section where they do a lot of research, and occasionally this is where bodies are sent for autopsy, that sort of thing, that there is quite a hubbub going on. Apparently one of the wings has been tighter security has been implemented. Some people are wagging their tongues, obviously a security leak, talking about a late night delivery last night to the medical wing. And there's some speculation as to what might have come in the darkness of night that would cause all this new security precautions.
I approve of these security precautions. Mm-hmm. Ah, I suppose that's I don't know. Maybe that's a skill. So is security a skill, Bert? Or what would that fall under?
Burglary.
That would fall under burglary. Okay.
Yep.
And that is. Does that also cover forgery and spotting of forgeries?
Yep, sure does.
All right.
Although you could do that with education too, or lore. You know, if we're going to call it lore. You could possibly spot a forgery with a good lore skill.
I'll put it under burglary just for right now. But hey, and yes, I make sure I check the papers of everybody who's coming to sit down at the same table to make sure they are who they say they are, and the cashier.
The cashier wears her badge on a lanyard so that everyone can see it, because apparently there are lots of new recruits to go through this whole thing, because it was drilled into you in basic training. Always check identification.
Yep. That's what
my identification is now attached to my bottle, my little flask. Take it out, flush it, have a swig, put it way back in.
That is impressive.
So that's like the big topic of conversation. Everyone's in a little bit of a tizzy over this midnight delivery. That is until, striding confidently into the cafeteria, are a group of five very stunning women. They're all dressed in a red outfit that very much shows off their physiques, which are, while they're short, all of them are in the 5'5" or so height. And well-toned, they're very muscular. Not like, you know, your Mr. Universe or Schwarzenegger kind, but for a woman, you know, the biceps are definitely there. Strong whipcord shoulders. If you guys will look at handout, French tactical experts. Also, they have black tattoos running up and down their arms, back and legs, and torso of intertwining vines. They wear long black hair, very lustrous and put up. All very attractive women, if they weren't so intimidating. And all conversation in the cafeteria just kind of dies down as they all come in. They seem to be oblivious that they are the focus of attention as they grab their cafeteria trays and start having them loaded up with a great deal of food.
Seymour Jesse's a red blur. They're too far away.
Yes.
Well, it's been a long time since Warren has had a chance to speak French, with Fernand being a French name. So if they are obviously speaking French as well, it might be interesting to converse with them and just practice the tongue, if nothing else.
Okay. Can we tell if French just by looking at them?
They can. You can because of the skin tone, hair color. I mean, they look French.
There's 10 of them, so you got good odds there, Warren.
Yep.
Once.
You could hear a smattering of French accent as they're asking for certain things in the cafeteria line. They are speaking English, but it's heavily accented. They pause here and there to try to remember the correct word as they're speaking.
I wait for one of them to ask for frog's legs because stereotypes are just exactly what we're looking for.
This isn't Logan's game.
Warren, do you just kind of sidle up into line then behind one of them? Or behind the line?
I actually want to go and talk to them.
Okay. As you're coming up, you hear that they're asking for things that sound like chemical concoctions, different protein shakes and supplements. And they all look just vaguely put upon when they see that it's actual food.
Parlez-vous français, s'il vous plaît?
Right. The one towards the back turns around to you, long black ponytail bobbing. And she's, oui. She has a sparkling smile despite the fact that with her... How tall is Warren?
I can't remember what I said. I think he's 5'0". 5'8", I think. Yeah,
taller than her, yet she still seems to loom over you somehow.
Oh.
but her smile is genuine.
No, I am conversing in French with them, but I don't know enough French to...
No, that's fine. So.
Je m'appelle Warren Fernand. And then... So...
All right.
Are you having problems, ladies? It is good to be... I am Warren Vernon. Can I be of any assistance?
I am Annabelle Lee, and she basically points out the next... Ow. Sorry, that was a microphone pop there from somebody. She points out the next... you're starting to robot there, Chris. points out the next foreign line. I'm Annabelle. This is Janice. This is... It goes down the line. The last name for all of them, it sounds like Flea. Or Lee. And she says, we're not used to eating food this rich. Most of our food is pre-constituted in pastes or shakes.
I've had to survive on rations in the field, too. It's good when you can get back into the civilization and have a proper meal once in a while. But it takes a bit of time to adjust to it.
I thought you were going to say, I too prefer to take my meals by drinking them.
Well, I could offer them this nutritious... Well, no, it's not a nutritious shake at all. But I could take all of my vitamin intake through Guinness. Yes.
One of them is asking the cafeteria worker, how many kilocalories is in this? And what is it constituted of? What's the breakdown of fats per carbohydrate? And the poor woman is like, it's potatoes.
I'm afraid the culinary sciences aren't quite as advanced as France's yet. You must forgive them. This is still a untamed wilderness, after all. This landmass that we don't have a name for right now.
What do you recommend?
I can point out the things that I wouldn't eat. The rest of it is just warm and not horrible.
Why do I imagine when he says point to things to not eat, he points at basically everything except for dessert?
A lot of things, yep.
One of them seems to have tentatively stabbed a meatball and is tasting it. And she looks over the sign and says, Chef D's special spicy meatballs seem to be okay.
They're not bad. So just make sure they're not hairy. So, yeah, I am trying to just engage them in conversation. I've got their names now, so that's interesting. Sure. What are you all doing here? Or have you all been transferred in to help out? When did you all arrive in this country, etc.?
Oh, we arrived yesterday evening. We are here to learn. Our France has sponsored us to come and learn from the Cheka. We are a tactical division, but we wish to learn some of your skills in analysis. You have many marvelous inventions here. We are wishing to know how to employ them for our own nation.
It seems like an interesting exchange of information that's been going on between our two countries. Or at least our two organizations, anyway. Why don't you come over and join us at this table over here, where my friends are.
She converses with the other four, and they all head over. You guys back at the table, there's this five Amazonian women marching over, along with Warren, who seems to be chatting up one of them.
Are they the French that they are using? Is it in any way unusual? Is it formal or high French, or does it have any sort of accent or anything that I could attribute to any place?
Is Fernand native France, second generation?
No, but he spent a lot of time in France.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Go ahead and give me a roll. And since Fernand has that in his background, go ahead and roll it at a +2. You don't have to do it as an aspect, just because it's there in your high concept. I'll give it to you.
All right. That is a 2.
A 2. Okay. It is not provincial. It is the formality in which she's speaking is more of a bureaucratic level. And I mean, this is not the French that's spoken in the countryside. Maybe the French that is spoken in their larger cities and their more urban environments.
Okay. It's good to know.
They sit down and they make introductions.
As they come over, I get to my feet, raise my glass. Ladies, I salute them and then toss back the rest of my drink. Going to get you something from the...
No. Alcohol is prohibited.
Oh, such a shame. And then I wander off to get myself another drink.
Yes. While they all look very similar in physical appearance, they're not clones of each other. I mean, there's definitely they're all dressed the same.
You're talking about.
They're all dressed the same. They all have like the same tattoos. They all have similar builds, but they're very different facial features.
They all have similar tattoos.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. What's that? Is it in French? Do I recognize it at all? Oh, is it? So the picture that we've got on there is actually, it's all sort of swirling lines, etc. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
It looks a lot like, it's kind of a tribal design, kind of like thorns in intricate patterns here and there. If you're now taking a more close look at it, they're not exactly the same. It's the same motif. It's the curling black lines, the thorns off the vine sort of thing. They're all black, but they're not the same pattern. You're asking you about them?
They're interesting. I noticed they're not all the same. Are they badges of honor or rank?
Oh, yes. The one you were talking to originally points out several on her herself. And you see that they are kind of discreet. They kind of all... appear at first glance to be like a larger piece, but as she points them out, you can see that they were done at different times.
And she's basically, this was my first combat mission. This one here was, you know, and goes on to explain that essentially their insignia, they kind of, they show rank.
Hmm. Interesting.
As she's doing that, Seymour wants to break out his notebook and start trying to draw the tattoos that each woman has.
Oh, you're showing interest in this, and they're actually quite talkative and very friendly. Again, it's kind of juxtaposition with their intimidating physiques, but all of them are like, oh, this one means this. There are some that are personal, like one shows you on her back. This is her family line here. This one is you get the impression from this that when they're speaking of a family line, it's not so much mother and father. Just the way in which she says it, it's there's no familiar connotation to it. It's not like my uncle or my father. It's more like she is. What's your specialty? What is it that Seymour is really good at doing?
I mostly just noticing the details of different things.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what you get. Is it devoid of any kind of familiar connection? When she speaks of family, it's more of an abstract thing. One of them at some point, instead of using the word family, she says, this was Krish 508. I was the fourth.
Okay. That gets written down too.
Okay. So as you guys are doing this and marveling over this, and Ronald, you went over to get some more drinks. That line is always very long in the cafeteria. So much that they put out a dispenser now for at least the easy stuff, like, you know, the bourbon and beer.
Mm-hmm. I'll come back with a tray of drinks.
There you go. What's Leon doing through all this?
Leon just kind of paying attention, kind of eating, just kind of offhandedly watching and listening, but it's kind of like, this is a little bit interesting. I need to note this just in case I work with French agents, but I'm kind of just watching, listening, and more focusing on just eating what I brought with me to eat since I came here for a few drinks to go along and just meet some people from work, because I'm not stupid enough to buy chef teeth.
Okay. So this goes on for a bit, and after you're winding up having your meal, they ask if you could perhaps be their guide. They are supposed to be in the medical wing, medical facilities today.
Oh, I'm sure we can find your way, help you find your way there. My tongue seems to have gone numb for some reason. Excuse me, I'm having problems with words.
You ate some of Chef D's food, despite apparently so. Knowing better.
What was the French accent?
Reluctantly, Ron will give you a drink off his tray.
Oh, thank you. That might help. I mean, this is where Warren lives. He is a frontline war correspondent. So talking to soldiers or people who have been in battles like this and getting them to talk about their experiences, it's what he does all the time. So, yeah, anything he can glean from these people about their experiences is the information he will store away for later.
Sure. They're all willing to share some things, but they're very careful to not give you dates or locations.
That was going to be one of my things. How long have you been doing this? Is one of them.
Oh, yeah, they're all willing. They're all more than willing to tell that. The one that you're speaking to, who seems to be the leader of the group, has been doing this for 10 years. Between the other four, it differs. The youngest has only been doing it for 2 years. The other two, 3 years. And the last is she's done about 8 years.
Experienced combat veterans.
Oddly enough, with your trained eye of this sort of thing, it is possible that tattoos could be hiding some scarring, but they seem to be relatively free of stitches, wounds, any kind of battle damage that you would expect someone that would engage in this to have had by now.
Well, I mean, that's French technology. How much do we know about the French
technology? You're quite aware. Yeah, you're quite aware of the French biotech.
That's fine. It's amazing. Not sure what you will learn from our medical facilities, but...
Oh, no, no, we're not to report there to learn. We were asked to report there for our expertise. This is our trade, what we are bringing to you.
So you're not here as experienced soldiers, but more as... Well, I don't know. As medical experts.
Biotechnicians
training in this as well?
And biology experts, biological, alchemical. Like, as soon as they start paying attention immediately and start, you know, kind of like, oh, what can you tell me? And try and grab, like, one of the ones. Because, you know, me, my alchemy and stuff. So it's like, ooh, this is interesting stuff. Finally talking shop with someone.
They start nodding their heads to this and smiling. And this says, yes, may we see your identifications?
Woman after my heart.
I show it immediately since I've gotten used to it.
Okay, all of them pull out like a small notebook, leather covers, and they start flipping through it. And they don't mind that you look over their shoulders while they're doing it. Apparently, it is information about the Czech organization, meaning, you know, this is what this level means. This is what this level means. So they compare your IDs to their checklists, and they kind of confer with one another and say, oh, yes, you are all of sufficient level for us to speak to you of these things. Yes, we are here. You have taken possession of bodies last night, and particular expertise in the field. We have knowledge of these things that they wish to see what we can make of.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the sort of thing we'd do.
Oh, yep. as well as to learn.
Bring him alive.
Your investigation techniques surpass our own. We're learning how to set up a database of things like finger marks and shoe treads and such. We're here to learn more about that.
I am trying so hard not to channel Bishop here with, hey, come and investigate things and look at the biology of these things. But, you know, it's so difficult.
I keep having images of someone say, hey, how about a private biology and anatomy lesson?
That's exactly what I was hinting at.
You will get mildly concerned when they say, oh, hand-to-hand combat, sure.
Well... Let us show you to the places where you want to be seeing things.
Okay. So you leave the cafeteria. The campus is pretty extensive. And so now if you look at handout, personal mobility device.
Yes.
Really?
Little bicycle versions of the Segway that people use to get around campus. Yeah. For the agent level, initiates. This is what they use to get around. It's a little bit faster than walking. For those that are more elderly or don't take place in field work, they do actually have motorized versions of this. But it's part of the initiative to keep everyone fit as well as get to where you need to go in a particular faster fashion. So a lot of people are wheeling these around. They've got racks of them outside of each building. No one owns any particular one. You just grab one and go and drop it off at the next rack.
I'm going to say it again, Bert. I've said it the last two times. Penny farthing. The amazing bicycle. Yeah. Now we've got these weird things.
Question. What about all the people who are... Because we're leaving the cafeteria. What about all the people who are drunk? Are they actually trying to get on these
things? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. It's hilarious.
Just watch Biggles. Well, I mean, do you know how to use these things, ladies? Have you seen them before? Or would you prefer to...
Oh, they're fascinating.
Whatever over there.
they're fascinated with them. They pull them out, and after a few minutes of getting to use them, they're quite comfortable with them.
I'm going to say Seymour would love it and start talking about all the mechanics of how they work and the balancing and all that. He'll love to get on one and go around.
Okay. The building that you guys are going to is this one way back here in the distance.
All right.
So you guys are used to these. I mean, there's no role involved here. I mean, some of you may not like to use them as much, but they do get you places faster. So in short order, you guys are in front of the medical building where you see that there is precautionary cones put up. And in the entranceway, there's a couple of flashing lights, and you see that the front doors have been sealed with tape. There are a couple of guards standing on the outside.
I'd like to see their IDs before we ask them what's going on. You, what's going on? Show me your IDs.
All right. Yours first.
We do a mutual exchange of ideas.
You're his superior, actually, so he salutes you and shows you his identification. Quarantine, sir. Biological outbreak.
Has that happened in the past few hours, then, or...?
12 minutes ago, sir. It's reported as precautionary. Nothing to be alarmed of.
What are the Angelique and the others? Annabelle.
Annabelle.
Got that name very wrong. Whoops.
they don't. They just shrug. It must be a protocol of some sort.
You have not encountered anything in the field where, when bodies are brought back, they leak contaminants or anything?
Oh, of course. Biological bombs are quite common. The officer that's in front there says, "Oh no. The MD is saying that it's purely precautionary. He was doing a dissection. They found some powder on the body. Just for security's sake, they want to just have a lockdown until they could clear it. No need to get upset about anything just yet. We're in contact now. Actually, the other officer seems to be on a radio speaking. And he looks over and says, "Hey, let me see that badge again."
Yes, it's rather impressive.
Oh, great! You're with investigative branches. The coroner inside. He wants you to bring a box of evidence in. Apparently, it was brought in last night. Hold on, confirmation. 2 a.m. last night. It was logged in. No one's had a chance to look at it yet. They need it back in there.
Okay. Let's go. Where is it?
It's actually a building not very far. It's like right across here. Just across the street.
Well.
That's actually where your barracks are, and that's the investigation camp, part of the campus there.
Well, part of your briefing was to learn about our investigative techniques, so this is an interesting learning opportunity. As you can't go inside, why not come with us and see how we handle evidence?
Sure. Guys,
I'll go to get the evidence and take a look at what it is.
Head over. It's basically a cage. There's an older woman behind the cage. She's snapping bubble gum as you come up. It's like, "What do you want?"
"I want to see your identification. And then we want to check out this after we've done the usual identification swap."
Yep. She's like, "Okay, got a box in 2 o'clock. Here, sign here. I'll go get it." And she sits up.
Cipher will scribble.
Of course. Something else they teach you in remedial. Check out training.
Hey, I learned that while I was on the job as a journalist.
There you go. She goes back in a little bit with essentially a cardboard box with a lid. It's been taped up with orange tape. And she says, "Just sign the top, just chain of custody and all."
"Thank you."
"All right, now you're responsible for this. Make sure it gets to where it needs to go, and make sure you get a signature on the other end." She slaps another form underneath yours. It's like, "They need to sign there."
"Okay. Well, what's in it, and what is it, and does it accord with what we've been told we've been given on the sheet? Because checking that before we sign anything.
The cover sheet tells you that it is the personal effects of three bodies, checked in 2 o'clock. It lists basically clothes, wallets, a few personal items, a comb, a money clip, you know, how much cash was in there, shoes, socks, that sort of thing. The only thing that stands out is an unknown cylindrical device. And on one of them, it says set of keys unknown. And those are the two things that kind of stand out on the list. Other than that, it looks like just personal effects of some bodies that were brought in last night.
Well, before we go delivering them to the place, everybody take a quick look at these things just to see if we can spot anything that is out of place or that you recognize from previous checker training or any or medical stuff.
No.
Hmm?
If there is some contaminant, there may be contaminant in the clothes and the stuff, which we'll get on ourselves, and then we'll be contaminated.
Interesting. You see, I was just going to randomly guess that this was a way of getting the stuff back, and perhaps that what was going on inside.
And they can analyze it there.
Right. I am thinking that what is going on inside, for no reason whatsoever, apart from my paranoid suspicion, is that this is a hostage situation for no reason. And that inside there, they are trying to get something that they were trying to smuggle into the checker base, which they did via pretending to be dead. No, just for absolute paranoia, for no reason.
Well, it is a cardboard box. If there was something in it that was a contaminant, the box certainly wasn't going to keep it from dispersing. It has got the red tape around it, which seals it, but you've signed the custody log. If you wanted to cut it open, you could.
I would quite like to take a look inside. If other people desperately object to it, then we will just take it to the base.
If someone cuts it open, I want to look at the keys and that cylindrical device. If somebody cuts it open.
There's a sealed room somewhere we could use to investigate this.
Yeah, there are rooms nearby that are set up for you to do that sort of thing.
I guess we could do it inside the quarantine zone so that it wouldn't overly contaminate things. Would that be a suitable compromise?
Sure.
Well, if there's a hostage situation, then if we get inside, there may be something going on.
Mm-hmm. It's a big building, though. Could be happening anywhere.
All right, so you guys are going to go back and back to the medical facilities. So when you get back, police are still there. You're coming up. The second officer that was they're not really police. They're Czech security, so they're actually heavily armed compared to the police of Medipol, which are not. You're essentially you're waved in. They do just do a quick pat down to make sure you don't have you've got your weapons, the two of you, if you want to carry. You don't have to. You're licensed to, but you don't have to. But since you're licensed, if you have them, they're fine. You're seen through. The women are checked more. If it's like, well, looking at the IDs, it's like, well, we're not sure that they're cleared to enter. You want to take responsibility for them?
French medical experts who were coming over here to look at these things anyway. So, yes, I think that would be – I think we're okay.
All right. Yeah. And he waves everybody through. They crack the seal on the door keys used to open everything up. They lock you back inside. Inside, the red strobe lights are continuing to go on. There's nobody in the immediate information area up front. There is a nice desk and lots of places if you wanted to open up here. Otherwise, more towards the back is basically autopsy rooms. There are several facilities here for doing other types of tests. There's a chemistry lab, a few other things around, ballistics lab.
Chemistry lab to begin with. I guess that's a safe place to go.
Yeah. All right. Just a couple of doors down. Halls are pretty empty. Usually, you guys have been here a couple of times before to check on bodies. it's usually much busier, but you're not exactly sure what the quarantine procedures are. So they may have gotten everybody out before that lights went off. But you're in the room.
I'm going to go outside the room and keep an eye on things while they do stupid things in here.
Sure.
Ah, stupid things. The best kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's take a look in the box and see if there's anything which you think looks suspicious.
All right. Other than the personal items, again, you know, they're all of a moderate size. One of the corpses is a woman, or should be a woman, you hope. It's got a dress anyway.
Well, who knows?
Right. But you locate the two suspicious items. They're actually bagged and tagged. The particular bags that they use are airtight. The cylinder is about 4 inches long. It's got about a quarter inch diameter. It looks like a metal rod with a thread at both ends, like a, maybe like a threaded cap.
And the cap's on it.
Yes, both ends. The keys, it looks like a key ring. It's got like a brass ring, several keys on it. They're all of an older style, kind of like skeleton keys. But they look, even though the fashion is old, the keys look new.
Do they look like they've just been made, or are they like...
Yes, they look like they've been recently made. All right. Well, since you're the first one to ask, why don't you you're taking a look at the keys? Why don't you make me a crafting roll there? Oh yeah, 6. Very good. They're looking at them, and they're kind of odd. They're the old kind of antique-ish skeleton key, sort of, you know, with the really big teeth. But you're looking at them, and you notice that each of the teeth are made of a different metal. Like the first one seems to be a soft brass. The middle one seems to be like a harder steel. The third tooth seems to be something else. And you're not quite sure. It's some amalgam metal.
I am breaking out the notebook, writing everything down.
Okay. Yeah, you can kind of outline the key on a piece of paper if you want.
Yep. That's exactly what I want to do.
Is someone looking at the rod?
I'll look at the rod.
Yeah. This is not my area of expertise.
Okay. I'll look at the rod. Anything special?
The top and bottom are definitely screw caps. Question is, do you want to unscrew them?
I look to the boss, like, I can unscrew this if you want, but I would recommend we put this, you know, somewhere tightly sealed, get some gloves, get some other stuff because of the contamination.
I look around the chemistry lab we're in and go,
hey. The chemistry lab, you have the sealed glass box. It's got the little Waldo hands where, you know, they're basically gloves where you stick your hands outside, then your hands are on the inside, you know, in gloves. So you can put your item in there and it pumps the air out and it's, you know, you basically have a nice sealed environment if you want to do it there.
I've obviously done this before because I'm a well-trained person. I will do it. Look to my boss, say, can I do it? As I kind of start moving towards it. Permission to do it, sir?
A nod.
Are there any marks on that cylinder, or is it just a plain cylinder?
It's clean, no marks. The only thing on it that kind of breaks smoothness is the obvious caps on either end.
All right, I'm going to draw it up before he opens it.
Okay. Get the measurements and all.
Yeah.
All right.
Are the women inside or out?
Up to you.
Well, I wanted them to take a look at the stuff that we've got here as well. Seeing as medical expertise, they might go, oh, we recognize that capsule was anthrax release device or something.
All right, the cylinder, no, they're not familiar with it at all. I mean, the keys are their keys. Nothing that they notice in particular. All right, so Marcus, you pop open one end. It is actually, it's a hollow tube, and it seems to be packed with 10 lozenges. It's tightly packed, so it didn't rattle around at all. But when you pull the cap off and, you know, they kind of spill out. You know, they're just 10 round lozenges tightly packed inside. Kind of chalky surface.
Well, I see if I can get them separated, you know, keep them in a tight container and see if I can get one to look a little closer. And if I can, do some alchemy or chemical analysis.
Yep. You basically have little drawers in there that you can open up in your gloved hands to test different things for reaction. So right now, the atmosphere inside, most of the air had been pumped out. It's not a perfect vacuum, but it's mostly air-free. So you're going to go through the normal, you know, try its reaction with water, its reaction with acid, caustic, all that fun stuff. So give me give me a lore or education roll. It'll be lore on your sheet, I guess. Give me a lore roll first.
Fine, lore roll. Two.
It definitely has a reaction to water. You put a little drop of water on one of the tablets, and it starts to bubble in gas. And the inside of your little sealed glass box quickly fogs over on the inside. You feel your hands inside the gloves are starting to get really cold. The temperature inside the box is dropping very quickly.
I make sure to sail these to the guy who's taking notes, and I'll just treat them
as... they're freezing, they're now frostbitten, and they're falling off.
No, I make sure, if it gets back cold, I would have removed it.
Okay.
Lozenge mixed with water makes funny smoke and looks cold.
It starts to get cold enough that the gloves inside start to stiffen up, and you can no longer move the fingers inside the glove.
I remember whatever procedures I'm supposed to do for this. Right.
Yep, you pull your hands out of the glove, and you slam down another glass partition so that the gloves are all sealed inside now. You guys can definitely hear sound, you know, tinkling as the India rubber gloves seem to have frozen and fractured inside.
Interesting.
Do the women say anything or notice anything about it?
Well, they're fascinated by it. They go over and they start making some comments here and there. They seem to be quizzing each other if they've ever noticed this on a battlefield before. They come up negative. They remember that there was once a grenade developed by 3R that would have a freezing mist that would come out for it, but it was mostly obscuring. You didn't get this cold.
Interesting. Okay, probably go to another drawer and start continuing my reaction.
Okay. Well, what are you going to do about the it seems like the mist inside is starting to you can't see inside anymore. The box is all fogged over, and it seems like the mist it's like stopped moving. So like it looks like the inside of that glass case is now a solid block of ice.
Chip some off and put it in a drink.
Well, that's a cold gin and tonic.
Oh, God. I will see if I can. Is there any way to, like, I'm guessing the boxes can have a reaction to heat, right? Something to test for heat.
How do you want to try that? The inside of the box is just a solid hunk of ice now, as far as you can tell.
Is there a thermometer nearby that I
can... Oh, sure. You can lay it on the surface of the... You can put it on the surface of the glass.
Yeah, and I want to make sure it's one that can get really, really cold.
Okay.
All right.
The best temperature you have in there, it basically bottoms out. You think it's probably colder than what the gauge can register.
How low can the gauge register?
It definitely can't get to absolute zero or anything, but it's very cold.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's see if I can, like, is there a heater or something I can...
You've got heat lamps around. Heat lamps around. All right, so you're doing that. That's going to take a while. What are the rest of you guys doing? So the keys look, as I said, they look to be made of banded styles of different metals, but otherwise the fashion is quite old. That's the only thing really interesting about them. If anyone's looking through the clothes, nothing special about them. You check through the seams, everything your training would tell you to do, no hidden compartments. The clothes are quite common, that are of good make, but you know, you wouldn't be able to tell if this person wearing these would be, it would definitely not be low class, upper middle class perhaps. Oh, and they are of a metapole. Well, not metapole. They're of a common maker's mark.
Are there any wallets with IDs or names?
Yes, there are wallets. There are no IDs in the wallets, though. There's some cash and various types of currency. You've got some marks. You've got some of the metapole uses as currency. You've got what does Italy use now? I forget.
The euro now.
Oh, no, well, then. Around World War II era-ish, whatever they were using then.
I want to say those. Era.
I want to say lira, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember if that is the correct one or whether I'm just getting that entirely wrong. Right, yeah, well.
And it's a modest amount, you know. It's
yeah,
not
it
a
is
fortune.
Lira. Yep. Awesome. Well, I mean, this looks like, to my incredibly untrained eye, like the kind of thing somebody would take with them if they were needed to be on the move regularly and needed some sort of currency no matter where they were going.
Looks in his own wallet. Oh, yeah, that's like how I used to move.
No, I mean, that's what I used to have when I was bouncing around country to country. Certainly a little bit of money in every place and then somewhere to join.
Once being a shitty character myself, I...
Hey, I work for a reputable newspaper. It just... Didn't know where my next assignment was
going to be. Weekly News. They're reputable, right?
Yep. I didn't say what kind of reputation. They were reputable. I don't suppose the French tactical experts have any interest in any knowledge on this. They're not sort of infiltration experts as well in espionage.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely they agree. Having that much denomination, although it's a small amount of currency, it wouldn't have gotten them far in any land. I mean, it's basically enough for perhaps a week or two of renting a modest place and food. It's not a great deal of money. Even between all of them, it's not a great deal of money. So if this were undercover and they were meant to infiltrate a place for a time, it wouldn't be long. Couldn't get by for very long.
I expect they'd have contacts already in the city, just because.
Could be.
Who knows?
Could be. She notes, though, that the conspicuous absence of any kind of identification. Obviously, if they've got this kind of different currencies on them, I mean, where's their passports? You know, where's their papers?
Yes, they would need. We actually use passports. We yes. have that in this
oh,
setting.
Yes.
Okay, all right. That is interesting.
Do I recognize the maker's mark on the keys?
Keys don't have a maker's mark on them. Usually it would be stamped somewhere. So, good question.
I thought you said that there were some.
The maker's mark's on the clothing. Sorry.
Okay. Do I recognize those
maker's marks? Oh, yes. Marks? Quite common. Quite common brands. You can buy them in most stores.
From your Target's or your
yes.
Walmart.
Bartholomew Mart.
Write it all down. Are you going to test another lozenge? Or are you going to try and break the case?
So you got the heat on them.
I'm going to, while that's slowly defying, I'm going to try to test another lozenge.
All right, well, the lozenge is inside that cube of ice. I mean, the whole thing is in there.
But you said it had like, oh, wait, I thought we separated
right.
out like one of the lozenges.
They were all like separated out inside the sealed case. So when it filled the sealed case with ice, everything
but
in the
we
case.
But I thought separated it into like a little, like when we added the water, it was in a separate area of the general case.
Right, but the entire case is a frozen block of ice.
Oh, the entire case
yes,
is
a frozen block of ice.
Yeah, I'm going to just, like, be defying that then.
Yep. It seems to be working. You get the heaters on it, and you can see that the you're surprised that the glass case actually held, but you're starting to see that you do have a temperature change. The thermometer you've got on it is starting to register that it's starting to heat up. So it doesn't look like it's a preternatural cold. It is capable of being heated up again. Temperature slowly rising.
Temperature slowly rising in D-fine, bosses.
That is interesting.
While you guys are doing this, the flashing red lights in the, you know, you can still kind of see them peripherally. They're not further back in the building, just at the very front. So they're still flashing, but now you guys are hearing something coming over the intercom. In the rooms, you don't hear it so well. Outside, Mr. Biggles, you're hearing it quite clearly. Contamination level 2. Level 2 contamination is being piped through the speakers. Level 2 contamination in your training means the building is being sealed. What you know is that pretty soon... Probably right now, the triggers are being released on the windows, which means that you're about to be locked into this building.
Bloody chicken, what they expect us to do. I'm going to leave my post and start looking for some biohazard suits.
Okay. You know where to look for them. Closet down the hall. You find...
Yep,
there you go. Biohazard suits.
Yep.
You just getting yourself in one, or...
Well, I'll get some for the others. Well, first of all, I'll put myself in one, of course. Yes. But otherwise, pick some for the others.
All right. You bring back a handful of biosuits. So when he opens the door, so you guys can more clearly hear it now. Level 2, contamination. And yes, you guys all know what that means now yourselves.
Hmm.
Oh. That's not good.
Well, at least we're in here. Where it's...
The women are looking around. Like, what does this mean?
Go on. You know better. You can explain better than I.
I explained to her what it means.
Okay.
In French.
Oh, you speak French? Okay.
Yes, I do. Right. I make sure it's clear and that there's no loss of translation.
Okay. They're okay with this?
He's a German agent. Of course he speaks French.
They're not too concerned about being locked in. That's no big deal. You know that level 3 contamination means that at some point all these corridors are going to be flooded with fire.
Not the corridors. What have the corridors got to do with anything?
Basically all the rooms will be, torched.
Well, the rooms, I can understand that.
Everything torched.
Basic chicken policy, you know that.
Yeah, burn it all.
Scorched earth policy.
Well, then I guess it's lucky that if they're going to be using fire, we've got something which makes a tremendous amount of cold immediately.
If we could get it out of here, boss.
Well, I mean... I trust you to do that.
Mr. Biggles, you're handing out the sealed suits. You guys hear some crackling going over the speakers for a moment, which interrupts the broadcast of level 2 contamination. And you hear heavy breathing on the other side, panting. And you hear someone calling out, is anyone there? God! Oh, my God! They killed the doctor!
See? They're back up and running. I told you. Always pays to be suspicious. It's those checker instincts we get trained on. Talking to the French people.
Right,
there.
They did not check the IDs. That's what happened.
So you hear pounding. It's like, the doors are sealed! No! No! And then you hear the same voice just screaming, and you hear the sound of like flesh being rent. Snapping, cracking sounds of bone. And then it's quiet, except for the sounds of mastication.
How is somebody holding down the button to broadcast this out as well? Well, that's an impressive thing.
Where were we supposed to take these...
autopsy room.
...items... how far away is the autopsy room?
back end of the clinic. You've got a few more corridors to go down through.
I'm going to look around and say, I think we're supposed to go to the autopsy clinic. Do we want to go? Or do we want to run?
Well, I mean...
We're locked in.
So we will have to deal with the contamination ourselves before it goes to level 3. That is the only way out.
The intercom and sort of toggle it. So this is a Checker Agent Biggles. Please identify yourself.
Yeah, you just continue to hear the sounds of chewing going on. You're not sure which room it's coming from, so you're doing wide broadcast. Another voice crackles over the intercom. It's like, is there someone else in the facility? Identify yourself.
Only said I'm Checker Agent Biggles. This is Dr. Agent Biggles. Who are you?
This is Dr. Hirschberger. We're in the autopsy lab. Where are you?
We are in the building. I'd rather not give a location out over this. Can you please give us your situation?
Did you bring the materials?
And could you please give us a situation? Come on, man. We need information here so we can act properly.
We need those materials. There is some kind of agent in there that hopefully can stop this mess.
I look over at the others, raise my eyebrow.
I think the agent they're talking about, sir, maybe this freezing agent.
Was it my finger, not anything, but do we want them to know we have it?
Well, can they tell us anything else? No?
Apparently they're just assistants on the staff at the moment.
You're willing to ask whatever you want. I mean, you have no idea what rank the professor is or the doctor is. He didn't really say. You might outrank him. You don't know.
He might not even be the doctor. We haven't checked his papers yet.
That's right.
Now I'm just imagining, like, now show me your papers before you. I tell you your location, maybe more information. How am I supposed to do that? I'm over at intercom.
Are you still there, Mr. Biggles?
Thinking back on that. Yes, we'd like to confirm some information from you first before we proceed. You know,
God, man, you have to hurry. They've already killed one of the lab aides.
Yes, standard checker procedure. I'm sure you understand.
Oh, blast! He rattles off his identification number. If you're in a room with a Babbage engine, you can check it out. Yes, sir.
I look around like I don't even know what a Babbage engine is.
There's a box. It's a coin box over there in the corner.
I could check it for you, sir. Meanwhile, I'm waiting for that to be thawed.
Yep, it's starting to thaw nicely. The fog inside is actually crystalline, and it's starting to melt down, so you can see the inside again. It looks like the rest of the pills were unharmed.
Awesome.
Whatever the freezing agent was, apparently as it melts, it isn't causing it to melt into a liquid. It's just evaporating.
That is. Really are.
Well, while we're waiting for somebody to check his papers or on the Babbage machine, why don't you get more information, Biggles, such as what we are facing against? Because if we need to get to the other end, well then do it again. Ask more. Be your usual drunk belligerent self, where you don't take no for an answer.
Hurry, man! They're going to break down these doors any moment now!
Who are they?
I don't know! We need information. They're the bodies that were brought in last night for autopsy!
I'm writing everything down. The guy's ID number.
And what do you know about
shorthand
them?
The conversation.
What are they that they are?
They're reanimated. I know they were dead when they came in. I signed the paperwork myself. Confirmed death, but they're up. They're moving. They were slightly coherent before they just went mad on us.
And what do you think they had on them that would help?
One of them before he went crazy and killed poor Philip. Oh my God. He's eating his brains. There's the sound of somebody hurling in the background. And he comes back online. He said, in that tube, metal tube, he said it was a medication. He was pleading for it before they changed.
I'm just eating at the moment, that's why.
The five girls in the room are looking at each other, kind of uneasy.
Does this sound... Well... Now, does this sound familiar to you, ladies?
Annabelle nods her head, says, "We." Yes, it is a way for biological soldiers to sometimes get through inspection points in France. They will be normal appearing. They can pass physicals. But it is contingent on them continuing to take a drug. If the drug is not introduced to the system, they assume their battle forms.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is kind of what we... Okay, and... do you think these people are then French?
They shrug. We were not told that they would be French nationals.
Have you heard of any other countries or come across any other reports where somebody else has had this ability?
Oh, we, yes. Germany, when people refer to Germany now, they refer to 3R, okay? Because Germany as a nation has kind of ceased. Everyone who's not part of 3R has fled. So, yeah, when someone says Germany, they mean 3R. But I said, yes, Germany has taken much of that technology. We stopped using it ourselves after we signed the accords. The accords would be the agreement that was forged between Joshua Dare, several of the other heads that are against 3R, or at least trying to stop 3R expansion. So when France signed onto that charter, they agreed to stop using certain technologies that were a little extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a few years now.
Well,
what would happen if we introduced these pills to them now?
You're asking over the phone or over the intercom?
Asking the women.
Oh,
asking the women.
They confer for a bit. They're not doing this like in quiet voices. It just seems like it's almost like a group think. They all seem to be adding a little bit to each other's information.
While they're talking to each other, I'll ask Leon, how long till those are defrosted?
I give him an estimate.
20, 30 minutes.
Yay.
I look
now, you could, you could try and break. You can get into the case now if you wanted to open the case, and you could just use an ice pick or something if you wanted.
I say if we get someone who's good with an ice pick, they can start chipping at it as well.
Hmm.
And so they're done confirming, and she says, from what we know, it won't do any good once they've transformed. The medications were used to stop the transformation. Once it's begun, the medications would not revert the creatures.
Okay, and how are you ladies at fighting these things?
They all of them in sequence kind of crack their knuckles, shake out their necks.
Dr. Hershberger will be there shortly to deal with them.
Well, this will be interesting. We'll see what's going on.
This way, ladies.
All right.
If there's a fire extinguisher nearby, I'm going to grab it because it's going to be a useful distraction tool.
Yeah. Yep, well, are we going to get those things? I mean, putting them in the mouth of somebody and freezing them and causing them to freeze from the inside out won't do them any good. So getting those, whatever they are, will be useful.
Yeah, well, if you want to do that, we'll go over here and stop them from beating up the scientists.
Well, there's no point. The point is to take those things to use as a weapon against them.
Yes, but they're not out. So we're going to have to go distract them while you get the pills out.
Right, that will take...
Otherwise... Yes, that will take time. We're going to have to spend some time distracting them.
That will take seconds. You going down there and fighting a... Well, let us go then, because there is no point. By the time you have got there, we will have broken them out.
Yeah, but the pills won't help. Behind.
Right, the pills won't revert them to their form, but you've seen what they do. Putting that inside somebody and having that reaction go off won't do them any good. Won't. It will do lots of damage to them, is the point I'm talking about. It will mess up their insides. I don't care what they are. If they've got that going on inside of them, it's not going to help. Help them move around and be ready to eat somebody else's brains.
Yes, I get that.
Is there a way that we can just torch one room?
Yes.
Problem solved. Torch one room.
Actually, while you're thinking about that, you're kind of now wondering why they didn't just torch the autopsy room.
Because there were people inside?
There were people inside.
Well, that involves probably using their machine over there, which I don't know how to do, so.
Oh, wait, you want me to, but, okay, I could get the Babbage machine working, it shouldn't be too hard.
Well, I mean, you can confirm that the ID that was set over the intercom matches the doctor's name, you bring up his file.
I do that.
But, I mean, there's no telling if the guy just read that number off of something.
Yeah. At this point, we know there's monsters over there. Let's just go deal with that. You know, anything else involves too much thinking. So yeah.
Well, if the doors are locked,
they're not. The interior doors are locked. Nobody can get out. That is what it is.
But the exterior doors are locked.
Sorry, that is what I meant. I am.
Yeah, the interior doors are flimsy, and they'll get beaten down shortly. And we need to go distract the monsters while you get the pools out. Go on, get to it.
Why don't we get close to the autopsy room, confirm who's in there, and then just torch it? Because I'm not going to go near those things. I'm not going to fight them.
All right. So what's the decision? Do you pop the case and start chiseling away at the ice inside?
It will take. So little time to actually just smash the ice, even if we use the fire extinguisher that Biggles has done to break it.
We'll try that momentarily then. If it's going to take more than this one's bash, then I'll leave it. And one quick bash with the fire extinguisher, does it break the ice?
All right, so you open the glass case, and so inside it looks like a solid block. You hit it with the fire extinguisher, and it's almost like strands of cotton candy if it were frozen solid. It's very brittle. It all just shatters with the blow, and you can reach inside, and the other tablets seem to be fine.
Okay, I don't reach them with my. Unprotected hand into the freezing cold metal.
I get some tongs and some other stuff and close it up and basically get it so that we can get it out.
Sure. Mr. Biggles brought some environmental suits. Did anyone else put it on other than Biggles?
I'll put it on immediately as soon as it's
done. Yeah, I'm wearing that, so I should be fine for picking it up because they are environmental gloves.
Thank you, boss. You're the best boss ever. Mm.
Okay. Hey, Chris, right. Are you there? Hold on a second.
Yes, I am here.
Yeah, that's you. You're cyborging. We can hear the kind of cracking in the back from your mic.
No problem.
Okay, so suited up. You've got your... Who's holding the cylinder with the pills?
Who's the most athletic of the group so they can do something with this?
You've got two drunks, you got an old man, and you.
And a squadron of five highly trained officers.
Right. What did you do to these things in order for them to react? What did you add?
I added water.
Distilled water.
Right. So all we need to do then is get them into the mouths of these things. It would have been because there's water in a mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So
if nothing else, grab a squirt bottle of distilled water and we can squirt that in as well. If we hit.
I mean, right now, you guys in the environmental suits should be carrying to protect yourself from. Anybody not in the environment suits should wait. And then at the crucial moment, because this is the way we're working a check a fight, I say, one of you guys will throw it to us and we will catch it in midair and slam it into their throats, because that's the kind of exciting things that we do here at the Checker. I've been watching those Checker training videos. Oh, no, okay, wait, they were propaganda videos, weren't they? No, they were training videos. I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay, Leon, you keep hold of the pools, then. You come with me.
Okay, I keep hold of them.
And we're gonna go with the ladies to deal with the monsters. If someone else can work on the Babbage machine to see why the firing isn't working.
Well, that's the point. I am also coming with you as well. I think we all go together.
All right.
All right then.
So you'll march on down to the autopsy area. So what it is there's like a command center up top. The autopsy theater is down below. So you walk in, doors open. There is a doctor there who looks kind of panicked. He's got a little bit of blood splattered over the outside of his lab apron. And he's looking down into the theater where you see there are three people, two men and a woman, that seem to be taking turns pulling out various bits and pieces of this poor aide down there as they're chewing on his entrails. One of them's got a finger that is chewing on in his mouth. They look perfectly normal, the fact they're chowing down on this person down there.
Is one of them named Eddie?
How you doing, brains?
How you doing, brains?
What's going on? Hello.
Yeah, the doctor trusts. Ah! Do you have it?
No. I'm more looking at the monsters. I don't care about him. I'm looking at the monsters as I say hello.
I ask him for his ID.
He fumbles and pulls his ID off a lanyard. Just throws it at you. Yep, picture matches the ID number that he gave.
Okay.
Oh, and the picture matches him, more importantly.
Yes. Well, I know.
Dr. Z. Hirschberger.
Doesn't sound
Z
like
Z stands for Zoidberg.
Says, they seem to be preoccupied now. They were in danger of breaking through the theater doors down there earlier. I don't know if they're infectious. I don't know if it's a disease. One of them spoke, he points out, the woman amongst them, and asked for the tube right before this all happened.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they not fired already then?
He kind of looks at you and he says, Mr. Biggles? He kind of looks to see which of you is Mr. Biggles.
I wave at him.
As you said, we have orders. I'm supposed to autopsy them. He points down to them. I can't do that if they're burnt to a cinder.
Fair point. You know, you have to agree.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him what the assistant's name was and his ID and put that in the book.
Right.
Good man.
I think his name was Edward.
That doesn't sound like a fake name at all.
Yeah, he kind of scratches his head and says, so many of these interns come and go. He liked coffee? He ate food? I don't know.
Apparently, he is very delicious.
You notice down below, they seem to have noticed that the theater has gotten more people in it up where you are. One of them kind of cleans the gore off of his hands and walks over to the intercom that's still being pushed by the dead aide's hand that's outstretched and seems to be in a death clamp around the button. And it leans over and kind of in an airy, breathy voice says, "You're next."
Hello there. Was it the woman or one of the men?
It's one of the men.
Hello there. We have your pools for you, if you would still like them.
Too late for that now.
Really? So I'm sure a good pool will do you a world of good.
They seem to be finished up with the guy below. Anyone got medical skill at all?
I've got 1 point.
Good enough.
Fear.
I have one as well.
Right. Looks like they were pretty selective. They basically ripped him open and ate his organs. Made a mess of him otherwise, but it looks like they ate his organs. Everything else was just kind of collateral. They start going over to the rack of doors that are on the wall that holds, you know, other bodies that are in cold storage. It's basically a giant ice box. They start pulling out slabs, and they start like cracking into bodies, pulling back rib cages and going for the organs.
Hey, aren't you more interested in coming up here and getting at us?
They seem to be ignoring you now and are going back to their feast.
To Annabelle, I ask, is this the battle form?
No, she kind of shakes her head and says, battle forms are usually more bestial. They look normal.
I shoot one of them in the head.
Okay, so So you guys are kind of up higher looking down into it, but it is kind of sealed. It's like a glass panel. I mean, you can shoot into it. That's fine. But yeah, it's not opened.
All right, so, I mean, why is the doctor panicking then? Why was the doctor going, oh my God, they're banging on the doors, they're coming to get me?
He points down, I mean, because there's a set of doors down there that opens down into in a lower chamber. He was afraid they were going to get out.
Wow, he's just all kinds of rubbish.
Yep.
Because in order to get up here, they would have to go through a lot of corridor to find him.
Well, he said that he's afraid they might be infectious, too. Don't know who else is still in the building. It's kind of surprised that you guys were still in the building. But anyway.
I'm going to ask Annabelle if they are infectious. If they bite you, what happens? And if you cut off their head, will they stop?
Wait a second. How has he got blood on him? If he's up here.
He was working with Chef D.
Maybe, yeah.
Actually, we all look on the doctor.
All right, okay, hold on. Okay, so there's a couple things going on here. Let's go in turn. So you ask Annabelle that, and she says, well, that some forms can spread disease. They will usually injure a victim. When that victim is brought to be healed or brought back, they're usually some contagious vector. So this is known. Spreading the power of the forms, so like being able to turn into these, is not really infectious, at least not from our technology. But some of them are able to spread infection and spread disease. Biggles, let's see,
Bernard.
Richard, Bernard. You're looking at his.
Not Bernard.
I'll get it one of these days. You're sitting there openly wondering at how this doctor got blood on him.
How did you get up here? If you were meant to be autopsying them down there.
Well, I was. And then they got up off the tables and I left.
And how have you got blood on you? Because they either attacked you or...
Oh, I was autopsying. I cut one open and it spurted on me.
There's no empathy skill.
Oh, you want to know if he's lying?
Say, yes, there is.
Okay.
Okay, I don't take any points then.
I have points in empathy.
I don't care.
So I have points in it as well. I was just saying, but
I have points as well.
Yeah, anyone who wants to see if he's lying, sure, go ahead, roll.
I mean, how dry does the blood look? Because that's basically what I'm looking for.
Okay, no, fair enough. Not very.
Wow.
Yeah, so that happened.
Wow.
Soon, so. Yeah, and a 5.
Yeah, I got a 4.
Oh, that's a nice one as well.
Well, I mean, definitely he seems like he is guilty of something. You don't think he's lying, but he definitely is guilty of something there. Like he's holding something back.
So that's their blood you're covered in?
Yes.
So you're probably an infectious vector as well, if that's what's going on here.
I could be, but you're all in suits. You should be fine.
No, we're not. I'm not in a suit.
You're not in a suit. Okay, well, there you go.
I was putting on a suit. I figure that those suits are big, bulky, and will not help when for the running away or the needing of dramatic heroics at this point.
Then he'll probably say, well, then you probably shouldn't leave here either.
I'm not intending to leave here. I will be happy to be poked and prodded by the rest of them once we've resolved this situation. But, I mean, you cut one of them and it spurted blood, but they were dead.
Yes, there shouldn't have been any motion, but it was still pumping blood.
That blood hasn't coagulated yet, and it's not dried on your thing. So I'm finding that hard to believe that it happened recently.
Can Leon get a sample and look at it?
It's on him. I mean, yeah, you can. What he's saying is correct. I mean, it's that splashed on him not recently. I mean, it's unless for some reason it's clotting and coagulating faster than normal, that's not fresh. I don't know. As I said, they were dead. I mean, perhaps it's a factor of their blood.
Interesting.
He's still acting a little cagey. He's holding something back. He actually looks more guilty than anything. Not so much that he's lying to you, but like he's guilty of something.
Open your mouth. He has no bloodstained teeth where he's bit into somebody.
He's got a horrible halitosis and yellow teeth, but otherwise...
Oh, God, no, sure, close it. Huh. Well, there's obviously something you're not telling us.
He looks around and he says, well, they started getting up off the tables and I panicked. I threw Edward at them and then I left and closed the doors.
Uh-huh. Well, that explains.
It's in the book! It's in the policy book! I outranked him!
Shake my head, sadly.
Section 5, it clearly says auxiliary staff is expendable.
All right, so how sturdy are the doors down there?
I put a mop handle on the other end. They're not meant to be sealed. Not greatly sturdy. When they're done feeding, they seem to have intelligence still. I'm sure they could find a way out of there easily enough. For heck, for that matter, I mean, they could climb. He starts looking down there. Oh, they could...
There's no... never mind. All right. So I say we smash the glass that is up here because whoever is already up here is probably already infected from the blood that's here. And then just shoot them with the guns that we have. I mean, there's not many bullets, but it will probably take out one or two of them and that will be less that have to... come up here and try and kill us when we're done.
Are you good shots? I mean, I still have to autopsy the bodies. If we can catalog which shots were yours, and I'm able to tell, yes, that should work. That should work.
You've been on the checker training course.
Well, I'm not certified for firearms. I'm staff.
We've been on the checker training course.
Oh, God, no!
Assuring you how good we are with pistols.
He looks very scared now.
Actually, I look at the French tactical unit. How good are you with shooting? You've got to be very good, right?
Annabelle sticks out her hand. Give her the gun.
How good are you with...
May I see your weapon?
Sure.
Oh, yes. I am certified to use that firearm.
How good are you with them? I mean...
She looks down and she says, how thick is this glass, doctor? Doctor tells her, And she seems to be doing some calculations for a moment. She looks at your gun and she says, what caliber is that? You can just tell her.
I was just going to say somebody smash it with, say, the fire extinguisher again and then take a shot.
She says, it will a couple of bullets to shatter the glass. Clear shot, yes. I can make this shot easily.
I said we just shatter the glass and then shoot them in the head from up here. Safety.
Oui.
Well, when we shatter the glass, they'll probably try and do something about that.
Right, but they're not going to break through the door before we get a chance to shoot them in the head. I mean, if this place is designed to incinerate, then the doors have got to be slightly sturdy.
Oh, yes, they're environmentally sealed, but enough force on this end, I could batter through them, yes, easily.
Yeah, but that will take a while.
If there's, if there's a broom handle on the other side, he smiles. That will help.
Check a issued broom handle. I'm sure that is as sturdy as ever.
Lowest bidder.
Well, what the hell? Can only go wrong really badly.
I like the idea.
You can only
back and let him do it.
All right.
Is there anything we can do to make the glass more fragile to get so it doesn't take as many shots to get through?
Yeah, you smash it with the fire extinguisher before they shoot it. You don't waste bullets on the glass. Yeah, or anything. Expensive. I mean, this is we're going to have fire hexes around here at this sort of time.
Yep. Yeah, you can find a fire axe.
Okay, I'll look around and see who's really strong. I'm guessing the ladies.
Women next to you.
Yes. Yep. We hand everything over to them and let them go for it.
We're just here to watch the NPCs go to work.
I make sure to have my sword drawn and ready just in case they jump up here.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's an impressive leap if they can.
One of them grabs a fire axe, and it takes a few blows, but she's able to shatter off a section. The things below seem to take interest and kind of stop in their feeding. Annabelle asks for the gun.
She's already got the gun. I am going to be helping hand it to her. Yeah, okay. I'm going to be helping smash in the window as well, just to get it done quickly.
Okay, blam! Headshot. One of them goes down.
There we go. One out of three.
I'm sure there'll be no problems with the rest of them.
Two of them are a headshot, and one of them she seems to just wound. And she says, they are coherent. Perhaps the one you can question. She says it nonchalantly. You can't really tell if she saved that one on purpose or if she actually missed. You can't really tell.
I believe that she has done so. Hey, seems to know what she's doing.
Yep. More so than us.
Yep.
Not hard.
Who's going to go down there and wrangle that last one so it can be questioned?
I mean, these were the only three, right?
Yep. It was the female. She left alive. She blew the kneecap off, the right leg.
Okay. We should have tasers nearby, yes?
You would always, if you're choosing to carry a firearm, you would still have a taser on you, so yeah.
Let's go taser her so she doesn't become a problem and then...
I don't know that that's going to work, but yeah, we'll go subdue her somehow.
All right, so who's staying up in the chamber up here in the observation deck and who's going down below?
I'm staying up top to document everything.
All right. What were you saying there?
I'm going down below because I have the medicine for stuff.
Sure. You go down. The others?
I'll go down because that's the kind of stupid things I'm going
to
do.
Yes, it'll be fun to go down there. Let's get into the heart of the action.
Okay. Annabelle's going to stay up top with the gun just in case, and the other four will go with you.
Good call. All right.
Yeah, that sure enough, there is a Cheka-issued broom handle over the door handles of the theater room. Once you get below, you do see that there is a smear of blood on the broom handle and the door handles on this side.
Mm. That's probably theirs. A gesture to the people who are in the hazard suits to remove the bloody, horrible stains.
I basically do the Chaka training hand signals to indicate that I'm going to open the door for the two people with tasers, because I don't have a taser.
All right, so you slide the broom out of the handles, you work the door lock, which basically breaks the seal on the door. You throw it wide, and it's the living creature is still where it dropped. It's continuing to feed on one of the frozen corpses. You notice that the leg wound is it bled initially because there's some blood that's coming from the wound, but it stopped bleeding, and it actually looks like it's starting to heal over, starting to scab.
Yes, even before that, I was going to say, we're going to check the dead bodies to make sure they're actually dead and not dead. The headshots.
Okay. You take a look. The holes in the head are not healing. There's definitely the back of the head is blown out, brains, etc., all over the floor. It does not look like those wounds are healing.
Well, I'll try to give a running commentary of what we see down here so that those upstairs can at least report it if we're going to die.
I'm going to keep an eye on the doctor and write everything down that I can.
So you're writing and keeping an eye on the doctor. Okay.
Yeah, when I'm not writing, I'm looking at the doctor, and I'll write a little bit and look at the doctor.
All right.
Because he has blood on him.
All right, the woman looks up. She's got like a kidney in one hand. She's chewing on it.
I'm waiting for the two people with tasers to tase her.
She's kind of looking at you and is feeding. She doesn't. She doesn't look like she's ready to attack.
Mm.
She looks like she's more engaged in the feeding. Although she's looking at you, it's kind of almost a pleading look on her in her eyes.
Has anybody got the lozenge?
Leon had them.
Just throw her a lozenge. See if she takes it. Medicine. Don't know if it'll do you any good right now. You want to take it?
Yeah, she shakes her head, and in between chews, she says, "Too late."
Do you want to be what you are?
She continues to chew, and she says, "Can't help myself."
Take the shot.
No, wait. Need to know something first.
All right, don't take the shot.
Yes.
She continues to chew.
I will. Well, no, tasing her won't help at all. With the talks.
No. Yeah. No, as long as she's not coming at us, I'm not really bothered. I'm quite happy to continue talking. What is it you want to know? Yeah. Quick.
She shakes her head and she says, "No, tell you."
And say the say the words as quickly as you can.
Her knee is healed now. I mean, the bullet actually, the wound kind of puckers and the bullet pops out, and it kind of, it just seals over.
Shoot at her knee again.
Blam! This time it takes the knee off. The whole bottom of the leg goes off. Creature grimaces.
A few minutes, at least.
Creature grimaces, but doesn't really seem to respond otherwise. Continues to eat. She says, "No, here to bring... Bring keys."
Yep, we got the keys.
You mean the actual physical metal keys?
Is she not keys? Go in building. And she kind of points up in sky.
Building in the sky. You're talking about the skyships.
We know about the skyships, do we, Bert?
Well, I mean, the whole Sky City is still there. It's
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's widely public knowledge,
though. Oh, no, it's definitely public knowledge.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yep. And she she looks like she's trying, you know, she's kind of fighting against herself, and she continues to tear into the meat, and is trying to, she's looking away from you as she continues to talk, and she says, smuggled them here. Attacked when landed.
By who?
And she shakes her head. Don't know.
All right. What are the keys for? They're for the city up there. What about it?
Secrets. She shakes her head. He's not a friend. And it looks like the this last bit is all she's able to get out. And she's starting to shake. And she drops the organ that she was eating on, and she looks over at all of you guys, and her eyes are blood red, and she starts
time to take the shot again.
starts limping towards you. And yeah, her last words are not a friend. Wham!
Yeah, back of her head pops in to say, "Told you so."
Yep.
Oh, there we go.
Brain sprays all over the walls, and she goes down.
Nice shooting, Tex. Annabelle.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.